So that was in regards of May was our first morning service, and it's just our family who started, and that's always a bit difficult for those people who've started works, and just as we know that people come, check us out, and then they go and they come back. And just last week we had two first-time visitors who came along, and it'll be in the prayer letter in regards of what actually happened there, which is quite interesting, which is a blessing. We wish we were back there in that regard for that situation. But God is faithful, and people are still needing to hear the gospel, even here in Australia and even in South Australia, you know. So, so this morning we're going to be looking at something I think that may be an encouragement to us, and you can probably may relate in regards of your Christian journey. You know, God uses ordinary people, even unlikely people, to do extraordinary things for his purpose and for his glory. We see there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25, the scripture says this: because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I need to focus on the clock there. That's saying, what's that saying, 12:15? Okay, yeah, that's fine. I need to keep my eye on that, I think. Make sure we don't go into South Australian time. That'd be a problem, wouldn't it? But the situation being, we see here that if God can use me, and there's a history there, God can use you. And it's interesting, if we went around the room, we found out different people's background and where God's brought you to. And if God could save me in regards of the history that I have, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, and it was interesting. On the Saturday night, which would have been the 22nd of September, I raised my fist to God and said, God, if you're there, show me. Now, there'd been a girl I was working with who had been, sharing about the Bible and that, and the folks at the church were praying, and then that Sunday I got saved. He can definitely save you. He can rescue you this morning from the pathway of destruction, which will lead to hell. See, God not only knows all things and sees all things and has power over all things, but one of the important things is that he really loves you and he really does care for you personally. You know, I would have known that there was a God and those things, having a Catholic background, not really a churchgoer or anything, but to know that God wants to connect with you personally, that Jesus died on the cross for you, and he cares for you personally. Interestingly enough too, he knows where you're at right now. And the reality is, God wants the best for you in your life. Now, these are some things, even as Christians, people may battle with. Does God really understand? Does he know? And it's interesting how God works in our hearts and our lives and brings people across their path to bring forth better understanding on him. And you know, you may be here this morning, and even though you don't know when to do it or how to get out of it or the problems you have, God does know these things. We were saying before about God, you put this thing in regards of our heart of it. How's this all going to work out? How does this happen? Now, we've been around for a period of time, but I think as you go along in the journey, you are challenged greater to trust God in matters. There are things that come more condensed, and you just continue by faith. But this morning we're going to look at a Bible character just like that. And you may say, which one? They're all the characters in the Bible like that. That's true. But let's turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Judges, and Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And let's stand, and I know we've had a Bible reading, but let's stand, if you're able to, Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. And we'll read through to verse 24. Judges chapter 6, verses 1 to 24. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds, and so it was. When Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till they had come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor oxen, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak tree, which was at Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abrazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my presence, a present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. We'll leave it there and just go back to verse 12. It says there, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for your word. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that the days we live, that there can be some situations that are negative in regards of spiritual matters. We see within our nation, dear Lord, in decline in much ways, that other gods and people who profess to claim the name of Christ have even turned away and some given up because of despair of what is happening. But we thank you, dear Lord, that you have not left us without hope or helplessness. We thank you, dear Lord, for your word, which is life and can bring forth life eternal. So, Father, we come before you this morning asking that your Holy Spirit, that he may fill us and minister to us. And we ask for your word to become a light into our path. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord is with thee, mighty man of valour. In Judges chapter 6, chapters 6 to 8, we see the Bible account of Gideon. As some of you may know the story of Gideon or heard it in Sunday school or read it yourself. But we see here that God is called to an idolatrous nation of Israel, and for his people who were just in regards who had worshipped other gods and even them own selves. Now, we may not see large statues, although when I travel around, I'm seeing more and more various faith communities and temples that are happening. And we see with this that God is encouraging them and telling them to turn unto him, to repent and to believe on him. We also see in Judges chapter 6 to 8, it's God's call to his children to be salt and light. You know, no one else is going to find out about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel if his children aren't being that witness and sharing their faith with others. To be the salt and the light, to be his witness. We also see that it can be a reflection of God's call unto his church to the lost world in regards to be his bride, to be pure, to be blameless, to be holy, unified in love and separated. Someone that's different, not one that's just the same. God calls upon various people to stand in the gap and fulfill his will on earth. God has many opportunities for us to stand in the gap. It could be in the areas of parenting or praying people or preaching the gospel or pastoring his people, both young and old. But regardless of any individual's outward disposition, our natural abilities or education skills or even stature or weaknesses, God is constantly casting his eyes, looking for his children to stand in the gap, to be his witness, as his call on a select few to do extraordinary things with his wisdom, power and grace for his glory and in regards for your good. Now, I'm encouraged coming here this morning and realising this is a public school and that you have this opportunity to be here and we meet in the city of Onkaparinka, and it's a music centre there, and we need to be, as you can say, in the world but not of the world. We want to be a witness to the folks in the areas of the community. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before the Lord, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Sad words, isn't it? Judges chapter 6 and verse 1 reads, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. You know, prior to this, they had 40 years of peace and rest in regards of God had delivered them. And the book of Judges seems to just be some type of consecutive series of, you know, God releasing his people in areas and then them going into idolatry or sin and then becoming in the situation of servitude, crying out in areas of supplication, God graciously saving them and bringing them areas of peace and rest. And we see this constantly going through. But one of the reasons we may find ourselves in that situation or here, the children of Israel, because it says that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They were the ones whose heart had turned. God never changes. God is faithful. God is with us through all situations. The area where we're at in the southern suburbs there, the city of Onkaparinka, there's approximately about 170,000 people. You know that at one time there were 3 independent Baptist churches there. One of the churches there would have probably ran about, I think, 200. There would have been another one that would have ran probably about 80 and another one that would have ran about 60. Nothing there, nothing. And we can sometimes be discouraged by those things and not realising that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And we see this similar situation in Gideon's time and the children of Israel. 7 years of oppression. 1 year or 2 years bad enough. Could you imagine not having the liberty that you have, but you have to do, you would labour, and all that you labour for is taken from you? And you're wanting to feed your family and you want to do those things, it's all robbed. But the children of Israel had brought this upon themselves. And I have to say, in some areas in regards of Australia, I'm not being discouraging this morning of your faithfulness and your work and your life, praise the Lord. But there's areas where people are just kind of like, well, you know, let someone else do it. It's okay, it's too hard. But we see that God had raised up in regards of to bring forth correction to the children of Israel, the Midianites, who were desert nomads who had learnt to domesticate camels and therefore were able to do long raids, and the situation being they continued to be them, also aided by the Amalekites, the children of the east, from the Syrian desert. And the Midianites' oppression, it's interesting, comes 100 years after Joshua had conquered the land in regards of for the nation of Israel. And we must be diligent and vigilant in regards of our country, of things that come. I don't have any problems with people coming to our country. You know, most of us got here that way. My folks arrived in 65. And so many of us are very thankful in regards of Australia. And it's good to go to all the world. But, you know, my wife's parents, their testimony is that when they came, they received the gospel here. Be faithful, be continually getting the gospel out. And especially, you know, it's interesting that many people I've heard a testimony have come here to Australia. Yes, there's been situations of affluence, but they have come to know Christ. And so our mission field is just where you are right here. And it's just within the state, just further over the border, and of course over the oceans as well. We need to be faithful in those areas. You know, like the children of Israel, we can become very comfortable and affluent in that regard. Unfortunately, now Israel is conquered. They're not the ones who conquered the Midianites. They're conquered and are in hiding. Year after year, harvest after harvest were taken. You know, spiritual drought leads to a physical drought and the consequences thereof. The important thing that I've noticed in my Christian journey is that we cannot live in the previous years of growth, traditional ways of others' heritage. We must have that fresh manner. We must have that fresh walk. We must have those, in regards, fresh works. Just recently, obviously, with the the football, and I appreciate Victoria's the heart of the home of football in that regard. So, but what ends up happening is people look back on the past, don't they? They look back in regards of the situations of their trophy cabinet, of what they've won, and all these things. And I've noticed over years that churches have done similar things. And they start to, I remember the good old days. Well, you know what? That was 10 years ago. I mean, I don't know what the lifespan is. How long does a coach last? Unless they're a favourite son, would they give them 3-4 years? And if they don't perform, and it's not a matter of us getting results here, by the way, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a fresh walk. But here's something to consider. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 20, the scripture says, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Isn't it encouragement as a Christian to know that God each day is blessing you, not on yesterday's blessing, but his mercies are new each day, each morning. And so too our relationship needs to be with him. We can't go back to what was up. We just adapt to where we're at now and to continue to move forward. And sometimes in South Australia, there's been that situation of a little bit of depression. You know, I tell you that there were good churches and people are like, well, you know, but we're not trying to recreate the old days. We're just working with what's today. We're working with another generation. We're moving forward in that regard. I'm not saying we don't care about folks who previously were there, but we can't live in the past. Interestingly enough, with the children of Israel, in verses 6 and 7, they got to the point of crying out. They got to the point of pain. And sometimes in our Christian life, there may be people who would say, you know, Lord, or our brother was talking about in the area of persecution and these things. And he said, you know, Lord, these things. And yet, until it gets sometimes to the point of pain in our lives, we cry out to God. You know, when we're in the valley, I think I mentioned it was just our family who was South City, and we didn't have anyone kind of come or those things who said we'd come. And the situation, you know, God has sent us two families, and they had gone through, you know, who been around Christian for a while, and you know, I've known them for a while, and they've come to a point, a crossroads in their situation, where God has brought us some people, probably best say, who are probably damaged. who probably got to the point to realise of their uncomfortableness or these things, I need some help. Man, it's been challenging for me just starting a work and working, you know, full time and work, because God brings us broken people to work with. And these people are just, in some regard, could have quite easily went somewhere else. They actually travelled from the other side of town an hour away to come. And I've encouraged them to go on the north side and different. But in saying that, I'm not trying to turn them away. I just, you know, but what the point I'm trying to make here is sometimes until we get to the bottoming out of that situation, we don't rely upon God. We don't walk with him. We just take it for granted that the way it is, it'll be like that all the time. But God isn't that way. God loves his people, even straying sheep, even those who say, well, I don't care. God is seeking them. God is loving them. And God, in verses 8 to 10 here, sends a prophet. He brings forth hope. He brings forth the truth and love. He brings forth a correction to get back on track of a proper focus. And how we can be so distracted in our modern age of various things. And leave God just to the side in that regard, not as it said in the Bible reading of being preeminent. In verses 11 to 12, we see that the Lord claimed Gideon. It says there, where the angel of the Lord came, and then verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valour. Now, I don't know about you, but some people might often think he was in a situation of defeated, probably discouraged situation, and he thought to himself, me? A man of valour? This is just something new to him. Gideon was just, he was just, you know, he was just a labourer, a worker. But even though he was fearful, he was weak and discouraged and defeated, this is the beautiful thing about knowing God, or more importantly, God knowing you. That God saw potential. He saw what he could become. God sees the future and God knows it. Gideon had to think for a moment. Is God really with us? Look at what I'm seeing. Look at what, you know, the outward of those things, the circumstances in chapter 6 and verse 13. And he said, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And how often that is that as believers, we look outward to see God's blessing. And we look, and we sometimes look to try to gauge spirituality with various results, realizing that we were the ones who have left God. God has not left us. And I have come across many a believer in this situation. And I'm thankful by God's grace, and I give him the glory, that our children are still with us. They have their personal walk with God. Why is that so? Well, not only God's grace, but I think they've seen some things working in the family. I think they've seen some freshness. I think they've seen the hard times, but through it, God is with us. And God continues with his faithfulness. You see, in verse 13, the other thing, Gideon's vision was limited as a man. You and I are limited. Sometimes we look at these things and the situation being different natural reactions, but I say, well, Lord, how will we do this? How are we going to start? How is this possible? Lord, I want to just bring some valid requests before you of various things. And it's interesting how God shows you that he can do far more abundantly than you ask or think. If God's in it and it's God's will, God will provide. God will work through these things, not only in regards to the Lord claimed Gideon, but the Lord looked on Gideon. He wasn't limited. He had a look of expectation. He even says to him there, not only about Gideon, but he says, you're going to be here to save Israel. See, God's vision, God's perspective is much bigger than ours. And many times we can limit ourselves, or we can limit what God wants for us. There was not only the look of expectation, there was a look of encouragement. because it says there, God is thy might. It's not up to you, Gideon. This is not for you in regards of your work. This is for the work I'm wanting to do. We also see in verses 16 to 17, God once again demonstrates and shows his presence. He gives forth his promise and the working of the power for it to happen, which God looked on Gideon and he looked of the strength, not of Gideon, but his enabling. And I wonder, for the various walk in our, you know, Monday to Friday throughout the week and those things, are you looking for what you can do? Are you looking for what God can do through you, of God's enabling? Well, I can't do this. It's not possible. But I'm trusting God in various areas. For some people, it's a matter of business or employment or the situation of family needs in these areas. God is able. We also see that God called Gideon. And from this point, a mighty man of valor, God said those words. A champion is revealed. A judge is called. Who would think? And that's what we need to be praying, I believe, at times, is, Lord, pray for the labourers of the harvest right here at Faith Baptist Church. The situation being is, if we look at various people who are in areas of ministry or missionaries, they're not getting any younger. And we need to actively not only be a witness and share the gospel, we're praying, God, we need labourers for the harvest. And so we need to see God working and not only saving people, but calling people. We have a young man and his family who've come and they are helping us. Luke Drummond, he's training at the Victoria Bible Baptist College. And he has some experience in ministry. And so we have the liberty to be here while he's caretaking the work. And so, God, how could we do this? God enables. That's how. We also see that the Lord then commissions Gideon. He says, go in this thy might. Go in God's enabling. Don't think that it's up to you or you're able to do these things. It's interesting. I won't go through the whole story. There's a lot in the area of Gideon. But then there becomes a dialogue. There becomes a dialogue in verse 13 where there's doubt, fear, loss, that Gideon says. And verse 14, God's reply, he brings him clarity in a bigger picture. He shows him what he's not actually looking at through God's eyes. And in verse 15, God's reply is he brings a few excuses and he says, well, you know, I'm poor and I'm the least of my father's. He brings his father's house and God's reply is, didn't I mention to you that I'm with you, my presence? And a situation of a powerful confirmation is given to him. Once again, God is working in Gideon's life and wants to work in our lives. He sees what we don't see, but he wants to work in and through you. And verse 17, the dialogue again, where Gideon's reply, he goes forth in regards of a sign. Now, you know, usually what God is doing and happening in the Christian is he's dealing with our insecurities, realizing that there's things in our life that God wants to work in our life that he could therefore use us to help others. And Gideon, I believe, at this stage is starting to realise the responsibility of leading others and being responsible in regards of other people's lives. God builds confidence in regards of a relationship with Gideon. The psalmist writes this in Psalm 62, verse 11 and 12. It says, God had spoken once, twice, have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. God is patiently working with Gideon. And sometimes we too have to realise one of the things we find in areas of working with people or ministry is we see things of what can happen in people. I remember when I was at Northside, the pastor came by and he said to me, do you think you'd be able to coordinate the Sunday school? And at the time, I think they had about, what was it, 23 or 24. They would have had probably about 16 teachers and I don't know how many kids, 100, 150. And I just, you know, I thought he was having a joke with me. You know, I thought didn't mind a joke. He came back next week. He said, have you prayed about that? I said, no, Pastor. So I thought you were just having a joke with me. He said, I'm deadly serious about it. But in saying those things, God is wanting to work in our insecurities in our life to be able to help others. And how reassuring it is to know that our response to God's call, what work God would have you do, may be of uncertainty, disbelief, fear, and excuses, but God never allows pessimism and gloom to divert his purposes. This morning, I'm sure that there may be various tasks or roles that God is wanting you to fulfill. There's a fellow at South City Baptist Church who's just turned 83. And it was interesting because when we were in Port Adelaide, he didn't go to our church. But I remember him coming down and he knocked on the door. And he said, Pastor, he said, you know, God's worked in my heart to help you. And I said, brother, I said, you belong to that church. I said, you know, thanks. But he said, no, it's okay with the part, you know. And through that, he would letterbox. He was not a young man then in that regard, but he would letterbox. You know, there was a picture up there, no word of a lie. Family's here. He's 83. He goes along and he's letterboxing. We've just done about 4,000 houses in regards of August and September. And he's out. It's amazing. Just amazing. He said, because he's saying, well, Pastor, what can I do? You know, and I'm thinking, well, we just need to get you right. There was a few things that, you know, for health and those things. And so he has a work. Age is not a barrier. How God can use you. Whatever age. And no word of a lie. He would probably, I'm guessing maybe 2,000. He's going on his frame. This is, and it's not all flat country, giving gospel tracts. We had some gospel tracts printed. And I try slowing down. He says, oh, no. Look, and this, I had to tell him, have you ever heard of this? His frame needs a wheel rotation. I said to him, I said, Ron, I'm just noticing the top. I said, you need to get one of the men to. I couldn't believe it. It's true. But praise God, he's not limited. He's willing. So if any of you are here under 83, Pastor, I'll get them in contact, okay? But I'm just praise God because there's things where I'm trying to say, okay, now, I only want you to do this much. I've got to hold him back. I said, you know, but we praise the Lord how he's able to lead and work through of these things. God won't accept, I can't do the pessimism. You see, the Almighty sees and seems to believe in us more than we actually believe in ourselves and our abilities. God is wanting to stretch us and see what he can do through us, not what you can do. Jesus exhorted and built up the confidence with his disciples in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus said these words, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do you believe that? Mary, the mother of Jesus, in regards of growing in confidence to God's will, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You see, the other thing too is that others and your peers can see and confirm God's calling and work in your life. Be open to those things and be communicating. Look for situations in various people, not just to get people working or duty in that regard, but in their Christian life where they can be fulfilled and minister one to another and to other people. And they end up getting encouraged with those things because it's of God. It's not just a driving force. And I'm thankful for over the years that people who might have tapped on the shoulder or various things said, brother, have you considered this? Have you thought maybe this is how God could use you in this manner? It's not a matter of just calling preachers. He's calling us to service in areas, to minister one to another here, right here in this body. All we need is God's approval and God's acceptance to get on with the work. And this is what a lot of people will battle with. You see, once you know that God has commissioned you, that God has called you to do those things, no one then stops you. It's not dependent whether someone likes you or dislikes you, but to be God confident, not self-confident. And that's what we need as Christians. We need to be able to go, not beat our own, but to know that God is with us and God can do this. And we humbly and we fearfully going through, well, I've never done this before. I've never had this happen. And I've tried to prepare some of the folks at church. We had those experiences when we were in Port Adelaide. You know, we had a radio program there and, you know, we had two slots. I don't know anything about all this, but I trusted God. God provided the program director who did all that and allowed us to do that at no cost. They never taught me that at Bible college. Actually, I had to go to some of the senior pastors and say, "Have you?" They didn't even have that experience. But we thank God what God can do just with ordinary people. Gideon's heart is now being revealed by his works. In his personal encounter and relationship with God, Gideon's love is increasing. His zeal, his conviction, and his courage is demonstrated. And he has a first trial or challenge in regards close to home, his hometown. And usually for us, it's right here in our local church. There'll be areas that God will have us serve or areas of ministry. You see, small victories lead to bigger victories. And also small sins will eventually lead to a collapse. But in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, the scripture says there, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Keep being faithful in what God wants you to do. Don't worry about someone else's laneway or what race they're running. It also says, "And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much." Be faithful in what God has want you to do, what God calls you to do. I would like to do this, and someone does that, but don't worry about it. Stay in your track. Because many times that can be a distraction. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Moreover, is it required in stewards that a man be found faithful?" Praise the Lord for people who are faithful. We're seeing Gideon's progression in regards from a personal challenge, which is close to home. In Judges chapter 6, verse 33 to 35, it moves out of just what is a smaller thing to God wants to increase, and because he can be trusted in those little things. And we see God's anointing, as it was in the Old Testament, of the Holy Spirit upon him for service, but not in him, as in the New Testament. See, the Lord confirms Gideon's call, and God graciously confirms his purposes, yes, through sign request the fleece, although it was unnecessary. Gideon knew what he should do, but he just needed that further reassurance. As mentioned before, be patient with God's working with others and with you. So that's some of the things I'm learning. I'm still learning. And I'm thankful for my wife, who is very patient, and also my family, because there's a work that God is working in our hearts with matters. What happens from that point on, Gideon's doubts are now behind him, being doubly assured. He never doubts his commission of the Lord again. You know, Gideon is personally prepared now to lean upon the Lord and to lead others. And that's what God calls us to do, is not only to share the gospel, but to help others. We have a couple of guys who do door knocking in rough areas. But I have to encourage them. It's not just about sharing the gospel, but following them up and then bringing them through in the areas of scripture and areas of discipleship, and able to help others mature. We're going to finish about now in regards with the area of Gideon. There's much more to tell. But just in closing, really, there's more testings to come. Sometimes you think the situation is, I've got to this point. It's okay. And all of a sudden, God puts you back in the 6-foot end again. And then you think, well, I've managed that. And it's incredible, because where we are, there's 170,000 people. And you think, well, Lord, how will we reach those people? Well, there's many ways you could do it, whether it be on the computer or radio or, you know, one street at a time, whatever. There was 120,000 versus 32,000. Now, just recently in our finals, we had one of our SANFL teams have an extra man on. And they scored a little bit and they ended up winning the grand final. But the situation is that controversy there, you'd say, well, that was only one man. Well, the ratio here is roughly about 1-4 who you had to fight. And God says, he says, that's too many. 120,000, he brings him down to 10,000, which is 1-12. Could you imagine fighting 12 people? Could you imagine what, in regard with Gideon's thinking? God, what are you doing? You're reducing. You think that's bad? It gets better. He goes down to 300 versus 120,000. That's 1-400. Well, for some of you, that might be what it's like in the schoolyard. That's what it might be like in the workplace. As far as the Christian, there's not many there. Or in your community, you think, God, there's not many Christians here. We're not winning. But Gideon has learned to trust God. Gideon has been faithful in regards to what God has shown him, knowing his presence and what he promises in his power. And the resources for the battle gets better for the army is just an empty pitcher, empty earthen vessel, a lamp or a torch, which was going to be put in there, and a trumpet. Could you imagine lining up like that, men, for your battle? Here we go, 300, 1 versus 400. Now, I want to say this. Not only does God use unusual people or ordinary people, but sometimes he has an unorthodox strategy. It's unusual. It's never been done before. Sometimes your pastor might say, well, churches, and people say, well, you know, I've been a Christian for 15 years. I've never heard about that before. It's never been done. Well, guess what? God may just lead you in a pathway that no one else has ever done that. Guess what's going to happen? Well, for Gideon, God brought a great victory. But it wasn't Gideon's victory. It was glory to God. In regards to defeating the enemy and bringing peace and rest to his people. So what activity did Gideon play? What activity did those 300 men play in actually putting the sword? None. You'd never read about this. You'd never enlist for this. But sometimes that's what it's like here in our local churches. It's like, we're going to do what? We're going to how? Well, it's not up to your resourcing. You see, Gideon was a mighty man of valor. He was a warrior. Why was that? Because he learned to obey the command one step at a time in his relationship with God, growing closer with him. He's found in the illustrious honour roll of Hebrews 11, where every name is an inspiration, every person a miracle of God's grace. Why do I say that this morning? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, it says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God uses ordinary people, even unlikely people, to do extraordinary things for his purposes, for God's glory. And he said to him there in Judges chapter 6 and verse 12, the Lord is with thee. So that gives us great encouragement. You might say this big fella up at the front here, he's a different fella. Yep. He might just be an ordinary guy. Yep. But God can work through me and he can work through you. The Lord is with me. We have that confidence in him, not in ourselves. But may I say this morning, you may be here and what I've said doesn't make any sense. It seems like a bit of a fairy tale. Or it just seems this doesn't. Is the Lord with you? Do you know Jesus as your personal saviour? Do you know if you were to leave this building and to go out and drive your car and go out in the motorway, and I saw them all there, they all speed through, and you might end up, will you know that you'll go to heaven for sure? Have you called upon Jesus to forgive your sins? Do you realise that Jesus came personally for you? Yes, for God so loved the world, but he came for you that your sin could be forgiven. That you could believe and trust on a certainty of God's promises, not man's, because God cannot lie. God's character is that he is consistent, that God is actually good all the time. That you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ alone. Is the Lord with thee this morning? Amen.